anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Back here on Downtown, it is time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you every week by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us. Hello, Mr. Meehan.
Good afternoon, Radioland. That's some tight harmonies right there.
Well, yeah, and timely, I understand, an anniversary in the family?
That's true. It's my parents' anniversary, 52 years today.
Whoa!
And their second marriage.
Wow.
And they don't like each other at all anymore, but they're together. No, they love each other. They love each other. I'm just not sure they like each other, which is the case for so many people.
Mm.
Not me, though.
No.
I both like and love my wife, and I'm sure you do as well.
Indeed, I love your wife. Oh, you mean
thank
mine?
You.
Yeah.
Now we're both in trouble, Richard.
Oh boy! Oh boy!
All right, let's move on. Let's move on. It's all right. We shall recover. Listen, it's been sort of a crazy year, and I'm so behind on everything I'm supposed to get to in the world of wine. So today I'm going to try and get through Portugal, because I think that's where we left off 2 weeks ago. And then we're going to just have to make a mad dash through Italy and things like that. This year is going far too fast. The idea that it's mid-August right now makes me kind of sick to my stomach. But I'll just have a little red wine and it'll cure it.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. Portugal. Portugal, I believe, as I was, if I can recall, that I left off last time talking about some of the grapes you hadn't heard of from Spain, and indeed, when one hits Portugal, you have even more grapes you've never heard of, though you have wines that you've heard of, and certainly we'll touch on those, but I'll just remind everybody that Franco, the dictator in Spain, basically cut the entire Iberian Peninsula off for about 50 years. And this resulted in stunted growth economically. It didn't necessarily result in stunted growth viticulturally, in terms of the fact that they were still making wine in both countries, of course, but that it wasn't participating in the internationalization that was taking place, especially after World War II. Once the Germans and French especially kind of resolved their differences and said, bygones and such, there was just an enormous wave of just viticulture spreading, both in good ways and bad ways, because there was a lot of people going out and telling, especially the French, hey, use all these pesticides and things like that, and your crops will grow regardless of conditions. And that, of course, about 30 years after that, led to the organic movement reinvigorating. But in Spain, and then again in Portugal, you just had this sort of nether region. So Portugal, obviously known mostly for port, which is a fortified wine, which we've talked about, from the city of Oporto, with grapes from up the river in the region of the Douro, which we'll talk about in a second. And also, of course, especially at this time of year, people know Vino Verde, which is this wonderful, light, refreshing wine, although there are some more serious versions, but from northern Portugal. So we'll hit all those. But there's a lot of stuff that people don't know, and subsequently, it's still one of the great values, no matter where you go and no matter what you do. Even, I would argue, port, which people do know, given the other prices of other very famed wines in the world, is still pretty affordable. We'll start in the north, which is the home of Vino Verde. It's called the Minho, just south of the Minho River, which separates Portugal from Spain, from the region of Galicia and Rías Baixas, which we talked about last week. Rías Baixas. I always mispronounce that because, of course, I don't speak Galician. It is the wettest region of all of Portugal, which can lead to green vines, hence the term Vino Verde. However, as progress has happened, especially again in the last sort of 50 years, a lot of trellising, things like that, are happening to bring the vines up and have them air dried so that they don't have to spray a bunch of stuff on it to prevent mildew. So you are getting some really serious vino verdes right now, in addition to the sort of just fun 9% alcohol vino verdes that you quaff on a summer day. Common grapes there, the one that a lot of people will know, especially from north of that river, is called Alvarinho, which is the Portuguese version of the Spanish Albarinho. Also, the grapes Luriero, Trajadura, which is also known as Tresadura, Arinto, and Azal. These are grapes, white grapes, that you're going to get to know, especially for folks who like sort of those zippy Sauvignon Blanc, Chablis things for a third of the price. Then you get down into the Douro. So the Douro is a wonderful region, absolutely beautiful, very hot, almost no soil whatsoever. So there are these thousands and thousands of terraces that the Romans first started building back when they came, because, of course, the Romans liked to get their drink on, liked to. Maybe that led to their fall. Who knows? We shan't bring that up again. So they built all these terraces to hold soil because there's like none that can, you know, that holds on the slopes. And they didn't just do vines, but they also tried to grow a lot of other things there because they were living there and they needed food. 1970s and on, they figured out how to sort of industrially widen these terraces. So that is sort of led to the explosion of a lot of ports that are, you know, better or worse. Just quick time check, Rich, because it seems like we're kind of getting late.
Well, we've got about three and a half left.
Oh, okay, great. Really quickly, just to touch on port and also the Douro Valley, there's actually a lot of really good still wines coming from grapes that are grown in the Douro Valley as well. So I would definitely sort of seek those out because they are made of, you know, these more robust, not just red grapes, by the way, white grapes as well, that are absolutely fascinating. And port we've touched on before, and I'll just remind everybody that it's an extraordinarily wide category. Yes, they are all sort of fortified wines, but ranging from white ports to tawny ports to ruby ports to vintage ports, it's a whole lifetime of experience. So come on into the shop for more education there. As we go farther south, quickly, we'll hit the Douro and Beirada regions. These are the ones that are probably the most recognized reds in coming out of Portugal. However, it's also the region/regions that have the most international varieties and are kind of, I don't want to say generic, but they're not... except for certain wineries, they're not really, you know, putting any sort of stamp on this is Portuguese wine, for better or worse. But at least it's affordable and good. Then you get to the area around Lisbon, Lisboa, and Setúbal. Very diverse, but not particularly notable, just more sort of historic and also, you know, close to a very beautiful city that you can visit. Farther south, Alentejo. This is probably the most important region, in my opinion. Just because it has, like, actual terroir that's phenomenal, granite, schist, things like this, producing absolutely elegant whites, lush reds. So check out wines from Alentejo, which is Alentejo, by the way. And lastly, I'll just mention that Madeira, the famed other fortified wine, which is fortified in a completely different way than port, is also from the island to the southwest of Portugal, which is claimed by them. I am sure now I am probably running close to out of time, so I'll just say that next week we'll start in on Italy, and in the meantime, come on into the store. We have so many new wines that just arrived, so I look forward to sharing with you all those.
Fantastic. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. Great to talk with you again, and we'll do it next Tuesday.
Very good. Be well, everybody. Bye-bye.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine & Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle. Every Tuesday afternoon here on Downtown, as we wrap up Hour 1. CBS News coming up back on the other side. Author Chelsea Henderson talks about her book, Glacial, the Inside Story of Climate Politics. Dennis Price with the Entertainment Report. Sports headlines, the weather, good, bad, and ugly, what's going on, and more in Hour 2 of Downtown.